Come to order. It's 8:38 in attendance. Representative Fuller, Representative Martin, Representative Gusendorf, and myself, Representative Miller. We have two items on the calendar today. The first one is Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 19 relating to establishment a joint special committee on legislative salaries. We don't have anyone here to testify on it. Is there any discussion?
Move committee substitute resolution number 19, finance.
Is there objection? Representative. Representative Martin.
The only concern I have really is on line 21 and 22. I'm assuming we mean operating cost of the legislatures and not the broader subject of reducing operating costs of the whole state. It says on develop recommendations for reducing operating expenses.
My interpretation is that they're referring to the legislature.
Should we not have that in the title? Which I feel for that. Yeah.
Well, this is a Senate concurrent resolution. We couldn't change the title if we wanted to. Representative Fuller?
Are you through, Mark?
Yes. I didn't get much of an answer, but because we don't have one.
You've had your 2 cents. How will this thing be funded? Is it going to be an interim committee or what? It's just a point of information.
Fuller, what's going to happen is the members that will probably be appointed to this will be in Anchorage, all in a central location, out of that office complex there, and they can handle the business right there.
Well, you mean it's going to be a one-sided affair it won't be the entire representation from the state? Will it be all concentrated in Anchorage, the legislators?
The representatives on that committee may be from Anchorage, but believe me, the people that will be on there will be very diverse in their opinions in relation to the question that we're talking about. I think the question is what we have to look at.
Okay, I was just thinking the representation from different areas. The decisions we made to have all the people from on the committee from. I'm sure that probably if it's a joint committee, there'll probably be people from Fairbanks on it and on the Senate side.
Mr. Chairman, what they would be doing, of course, would be making recommendations to the legislative body. And if there's anything scared there, those of us would have a chance to do it. But it's just kind of a fact-finding group, and the interest that we have in that issue seems to be centered up in that area itself. And we try to pick one that would be very pro one way and one that would be the other way and then a neutral party.
I have no objection. It was just a point of...
I'd like to say also that Representative Davis, Representative Penalberry, has joined us. Is there any further discussion?
Hearing, you're going to remove your objection?
Yeah, it's only for purposes.
Okay. Hearing no further objections, Senate concurrent resolution number 19 is passed out of committee with individual recommendations. The next order of business is House Bill 237. It's an act relating to pension reform and providing for an effective date. And I understand that they ran into some technical problems with the bill after it left finance that they didn't discover until after it had. So with that, we do have some people to testify on to the changes that were made.
Mr. Chairman, we have a draft committee substitute before us?
Yes, there is one in your packet.
Did you want to entertain a motion to adopt that for first discussion?
Yes, please.
Okay, so moved.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Okay. Virginia?
I'm Terry.
Oh, Terry. Okay, I guess. Were you here to discuss the changes?
Is the committee this question?
Yes, please, would you just come up over there?
Why don't you take this seat, Terry?
Give us your name and who you work for, just discuss the changes.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Terry Kramer from Legal Services. I got the request to prepare the committee substitute, and in doing so, attempted also to conform the bill to the drafting style that my office uses without in any way making any substantive changes. I believe you all have a memo in front of you which reviews each of the changes that I made. It begins about three or four sections in because the first three or four sections are identical in both versions.
Okay.
I don't know.
If you would just give us a brief description of those changes that you made section by section.
All right, beginning with 1425.150, subsection B, which is on page 2, excuse me.
Mr. Chairman, I was wondering if we could get just kind of a short introduction on what the changes, why the changes, and then we, so I can sort of get a framework of why we're doing all this.
One of the frequent changes I made throughout was to change from a passive voice to an active voice. A lot of the old statutes are phrased in terms of the man was bitten by the dog, and I changed it to the dog bites the man, because that makes clear all of the steps in the process. Another change was that the drafter had chosen to define spouse and surviving spouse for purposes of individual sections. Rather than have that happen, I used the substance of the change that the definition made as part of the substantive section of the bill. The change was to refer to the qualified domestic relations order, which is one that would affect retirement rights and has certain content that puts the administrator or director of division of retirement and benefits in a position to implement it in distributing retirement benefits. And so I made reference to those qualified domestic relations orders and the people who have rights under them in the substantive section rather than defining spouse to include the person who takes under the order, since that's not a common usage of the word spouse. And the same for surviving spouse.
Good. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. I have a little note here that basically some of the changes was to include provisions similar to those enacted by the U.S. Congress Retirement Equity Act of 84. Is that correct?
That's the
substantive change.
I didn't make any substantive changes at all.
Right, you didn't in any substitute, but the original bill addresses those things.
I have no knowledge of that. I didn't look at why the governor chose to introduce the bill.
Okay. Well, if you'd go through those technical changes.
Mr. Chairman, I'm trying to define the universe that we're operating in for my own understanding of it. Does this apply only to teacher retirement?
The first several sections of the bill are teachers, then we get to judicial and military, and then the ERS. Many of the changes that are made to language in the teacher's retirement system apply to sections later on in the public employee's retirement system.
Okay. Well, if you just go briefly through and just hit those points that you changed in the Rules Committee substitute.
Okay. Looking at page 2, line 18 of the CS, all of the memo follows the CS references. This is one of the instances in which there was a definition of the word spouse to include a person who takes under a qualified domestic relations order. And you'll see in line 21 that that whole concept is incorporated into the rights and limitations on members.
Mr.
Representative,
the word you see a couple times here, domestic relationship. How far are we going with that?
That's defined in 3935-680. It's an order that a judge would enter in a divorce or dissolution or annulment or separation. You'll find the definition of it on page 17, beginning at line 12.
What I had in mind, to answer briefly, is that these are the traditional matters between families.
Right.
Today we hear in other courts and other places, any relationship is a domestic relationship. I didn't want to get into that right now.
Unless the legislature saw fit to change what a divorce or dissolution judgment was under 2524. The next, 1425-153 at the top of page 3, lines 5 through 10, is a new section, which I missed in preparing this memo last night. I apologize. To clarify what happens when there is a qualified domestic relations order that affects a member's retirement benefit rights. And it pulls out of definition and puts into substantive law what happens then. This was what was happening under the old bill, but it was done by definition instead of by setting it out in substantive
law. Mr. Chairman, my edification again, is there any difference in force and effect to pull it out of the definition section and put it into the
I hope not. Act. I was trying very carefully to make none. I mean,
is it just a style?
My intent is that there be absolutely no change in effect.
Yeah.
Ken Humphreys is here, and maybe he'll be able to give you the retirement benefits perspective on that. But, the next section A, you can see that all it does is rewrite into the. Active instead of passive voice. And the same sort of thing happens in the following section 9, and also instead of using no benefit, we use a benefit may not be paid, or a person may not pay a benefit. Section 10 has the same kind of change that the first section we discussed has. It includes discussion about rights under a qualified domestic relations order within the section itself. Section 11 is an active passive voice question. Section 12 again incorporates. No, section 12 isn't that. 60. Yeah. Oh, that's the same in both bills. I didn't include that in the memo. 167 A and C again incorporate the substance of a definition of spouse into the substantive law and are rewritten for style as well to some extent. Section 15 is the same in both bills except that on page 7, line 24, I use the word evidence instead of the words documentation provided to the administrator. This is a change in 1425-200A to incorporate two sections of the bill into a single section. The underlined matter is essentially the new matter, and it's taken from the old added subsection, almost word for word. One of the major visual differences in the two bills is that instead of repeating the definition of a qualified domestic relations order in all of the chapters, you'll see in section 17 that the definition in the teacher's retirement system will refer to the definition in the public employee's retirement system. That means that they'll always be interpreted identically throughout all of the systems. It also shortens the bill, but that wasn't the purpose. 2225030B and 2225035 are separated from the way it was presented in the original bill, and the content remains the same.
It's Title 22.
That's judicial and retirement. So we've now moved from the teacher's retirement into, briefly, the judicial retirement. And again, in Section 20, you'll see that the qualified domestic relations order is defined as it is defined in 39, 35, 680. 2524, which we moved to in Sections 21 and 22, are the domestic relations sections.
The law. Title 25.
Domestic relations.
Title 25 is domestic relations.
Can you speak of the law?
Oh. Okay. So what we're doing in subsections B and G is adding to the domestic relations law information about what has to happen if a judge wants to distribute retirement benefits in the context of a divorce. 26 is the National Guard retirement, and this 2605-224D is an active-passive voice question, and it also incorporates the concept of the qualified domestic relations order, which you'll find on page 10, line 6, into the substance of the section rather than defining it later. The next section, 2605-224, these are new sections that stay essentially the same. Oh, E and F, I think. No, 2605-224E includes spouse within the substance rather than defining it later, or the domestic qualified domestic relations order treatment of former spouse. And F is essentially the same except for two words. (2607)(4) is the definition of qualified domestic relations order for that retirement system, and then we get to the public employees retirement system with section 26. First, section 26 is the same in both bills. Section 27 is rewritten to include within its substance the definition of spouse.
Mr. Chairman, ask you, what's Title 39?
This is PERS, Public Employees Retirement System. 370A and B, Sections 28 and 9, are the same in both. 39, 35, 385A and B are also the same in both versions. 39, 35, 430F, Section 32 on page 12, is the same except that, as it was presented in the original bill, the section made reference to another section that talks about how you designate beneficiaries.
Let me ask you a question on Section 30. And this is just more, this is the same as the original bill that you said, right?
Mm-hmm.
And is this, this is a change in state law from what it's been. Is that correct?
The reason that all that list of sections that you see, which add reference to 39, 35, 450, are there, is that 39, 35, 450 limits a person who retires rights to take an early retirement, normal retirement, or benefits if the person is married or is required to do otherwise by a qualified domestic relations order. This is a change from current law. Essentially, what the retirement statutes will now be doing, as I understood the bill, is to require people who are married to take care of their spouses in planning their retirement, unless the spouse agrees to permit the person to do something else. If the spouse signs a consent form, then the person can take an early retirement and reduce benefits or whatever. But if the spouse does not, then they have to wait it out.
So the 39, you said, is the TRS system?
39 is public employees.
It is public employees.
Yeah, this is now public employees. 14 is the teachers.
Okay.
Oh, so the reason that we don't make reference to 39, 35, 490 in these sections that are amended is that 39, 35, 490 makes very clear that the only way you can designate a beneficiary is under the procedures set out in that section and under the limitations that that section includes. So it wasn't necessary to add reference to them. A and C are both rewritten to include reference to the qualified domestic relations order in a substance rather than leaving it to a definition. 39, 35, 450, F, G, and H are identical except for a couple of words in both versions of the bill. 39, 35, 455, which is on page 15, beginning at line 5, is new language to follow what was done in the teacher's retirement system with the new language I added there. That is to make specific substantive reference to the rights of persons who have earned rights for gathered rights under a qualified domestic relations order.
Not sure I understand what this section does. Why? What does the existing law say, and how does this change the existing law?
Existing law is void. It says nothing at all.
Okay, and this says that a person under a qualified domestic relations order,
which is a term defined later in the bill,
take precedence over the rights of a spouse, surviving spouse, or dependent child.
To the extent required by the order, you need to be sure to include that in your understanding. Essentially, a person who would be taking under a qualified domestic relations order would be an earlier spouse and potentially earlier children. It would be, you know, responsibility to care for the first family versus current responsibilities of whatever sort they might be.
Precedence.
Is rewritten to include the substance of the definition of spouse within its terms. Subsections B.
Explain that. Go further, at any time a person may have been married to an employee and then claim beneficiary rights.
What, where are you looking?
490, section 37.
All right.
If they were married maybe at the beginning of his employment.
Well, it starts out a person.
Divorced.
Yeah, a person who is. Are you asking, you're not asking about the qualified domestic relations order, you're asking about how this kicks in.
Yes.
Okay. If a person who is the spouse of an employee at the time of the employee's death, that is a surviving spouse in how we would think of it. So it has to be somebody who is currently married to the guy who's just died, becomes the designated beneficiary if the spouse was married to the employee during part of the employee's employment. So that means you have to be married at the time of death and also have been married during some period that the person worked for somebody, who, you know, one of the employers under the system.
Thank you.
So I could sort of clarify what the question is. So then, in other words, if someone got married after the employment, then they wouldn't
take automatically under this section. The employee would be able to designate them as beneficiary, perhaps, if the employee wanted to. But they wouldn't have this automatic status. Okay, 39, 35, 490, B and C. Are just active passive voice rewrites. 39, 35, 490D is the same as a section in the original bill except for two words. And 3935500 is the same as 3935500A and B in the original bill. The language taken from B is found on page 17, lines 8 through 10. So it's the substance is the same. Then in section 40, 3935680 is the definition of qualified domestic relations order, which will apply throughout the retirement statutes. And I made no changes to that except that I removed two commas.
If I may revert back to section 16, why is it that a judge must be married for a full year?
I don't know. That's
spouse.
I don't know. That's
discriminating.
I haven't ever worked in the judicial retirement system laws as it happens, so I haven't ever heard anyone explain why they have a different system. I didn't attempt to change the substance, so I didn't try to explore why it was that judges have a different way of going about retiring than the rest of us.
No judge complained or the spouse.
I didn't hear any, but then I wouldn't. You would.
That's just something that is odd.
Heard any judges complain about the retirement system?
No.
I have a question, Mr. Chairman, on this, which is sort of a general question on domesticated, qualified domestic relations order. What this basically says is that if someone could be divorced and still set out a percentage of employees' benefit, is that correct, under this qualified domestic relations order?
Yeah, retirement rights that are earned during a marriage are considered property rights of that marital couple.
Right.
And this is putting in place a system so that the retirement division will be protected by gathering the formality that it needs and the information that it needs to implement an order that a judge might issue, dividing up that marital property.
I have one more general question, and that's, what's the fiscal note on this thing, or is there one?
I haven't the foggiest. I don't know.
There's no fiscal.
Is there any further discussion?
Sure.
Reverting back to section 9, if I may please. It has to do with the early termination at age 50. With the current consideration going on now, and that the administration and others may want to terminate or convince people to retire early with minimal retirement benefits, so they say we can get cheaper employees in. I'm wondering if this may be a factor that could be used in the negative rather than in the positive sense.
I'm not sure where you... What
section 29.
Section 29.
Yeah. It says that if the employee is terminated early retirement at age 50 with at least 5 years of service.
Yeah, that's the current law.
Yeah.
And all that this bill section is changing is to limit an employee's right to take early retirement if there is a qualified domestic relations order or if the person is married, basically requiring that a marital couple agree about how they're going to handle retirement and requiring that a person honor whatever judgment has been entered. As to the policy about early retirement, you might want to talk to Ken Humphreys, who's here from the Division of Retirement and Benefits, but I'm not in a position to.
Sir.
Ken, do you see how that could be misused? There's a lot of people that don't want to retire. It's not a matter of what the salary is. It's a matter of the people that work and so on. I'm worried about that being used.
This is the early retirement?
Yes. Terminating.
Well, we've suggested that that be changed. House Bill 252 incorporates a change, which shortly here in this committee. However, this bill does not attempt to really change the rules, as Terry pointed out. All it's doing is trying to address this spousal rights, if you will, and it's not making any substantive change in the rules.
It hasn't been misused, so if it had, it would have been.
No, I mean,
you wouldn't know that.
According to that's the law, you know, people can retire early at age 50, and indeed they do. But there's nothing wrong with it, I mean, as long as that's the law.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to, well, I've got two questions. First of all, are there any advantages in here for legislators under the PERS? Or is there any hidden...
if it's hidden, it's hidden for me.
I don't think we do that.
Well, I mean, sometimes just the attorneys would see something that's a byproduct, not that it's anybody's intention in drafting it, but we don't know of any advantages that legislators get that's going to cause us.
Perhaps to your spouse.
If there is one, if you're from Anchorage, the voters may retire you.
Yes. All right, then I'd like to get back to Section 36 on page 15. I want to know why we need Section 36. It's not in the law now. What kind of problems are occurring that argue that we should assert this in the law?
I can't answer that because I'm a bill drafter. I'm not a policymaker. Maybe Ken can.
Okay, maybe Betty.
Yeah, the idea was that, a qualified domestic relations order, you have an order anyway. And if you get divorced and you've accrued, if you your spouse has accrued benefits and it comes out in a property settlement, what we wanted to make sure that this bill didn't supersede that right, and the spouses still have the right, the former spouse still have the right to that.
I see. It's overkill, but I was afraid it had some wider application, but it is overkill.
All right.
Is there any further questions? Hearing none. Anyone else to testify on this? Seeing none, is there a motion to move the bill out of committee?
Hey, the speaker wasn't too sure, did he? Maybe I better hesitate.
Let's have a minority caucus, Terry. Let's have a minority caucus.
I move to pass this bill out with individual recommendations.
Is there objections?
Object.
Object. Chairman, those two people are single.
Yeah.
Really?
I've got years vested. Those two are single.
Yes.
I'm sorry I came into this meeting so late, but my name is Virginia Regal, and may I address for just a moment?
Certainly.
I guess you haven't moved on it yet, have you?
No,
we haven't.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just was given this committee substitute yesterday, and I have a couple of problems with it as far as how some of the changes were made. We had recommended just some very, very minor language changes originally.
Excuse me, what happened?
I beg your pardon?
What counted? Well, who recommended?
Well, at the meeting of the Finance Committee, it was brought up that there were some possible language problems in the bill, where it looked like perhaps somebody's brother could become automatically their spouse under the language of the bill. So we suggested some minor.
I dare them.
Well, we're just thinking. I'm sorry, Ms. Bigger. Who are you representing?
I'm sorry. I'm with the Attorney General's office, and I helped the Women's Commission draft this bill originally.
Okay.
But with the committee substitute there, I do have just a couple of questions that I'd like to ask of Legislative Affairs Agency, and that is in Section 10 of the bill, and in several other sections that have the same type of language, on page 5, line 2, indicates that the spouse automatically is a designated beneficiary unless a qualified domestic relations order filed with the administrator provides for payment to a former spouse or other dependent. The way we had originally drafted that was except to the extent that a qualified domestic relations order provided differently. And this just indicates that it doesn't provide for the fact that a qualified domestic relations order might not distribute all the benefits to that person, to the former spouse. It might only distribute part of the benefits, depending on how long a person was married to a member or an employee. And I think that that should be cleared up in this language and in several other sections.
Yeah, parallel language.
Can you point to that language again?
Yes, it's on page 5 of the committee substitute. It starts on line 2. And as originally drafted, we had indicated that the member's spouse would be the designated beneficiary, except to the extent qualified domestic relations are provided otherwise. And I think that that should be maintained in this bill. That if there's a way, perhaps Legislative Affairs Agency could change the language a little bit.
As the committee wishes.
I'll tell you what, I'll ask Representative Martin to withdraw his motion, and then you guys get together.
Mike's.
Or your motion.
I'll withdraw my motion.
Okay. And you guys get together and work out your problems, and we'll take it up at a later date. Mm-hmm. Is there any further meeting? Any further come before the meeting? Hearing none, meeting is adjourned. 9:15.
I'm very hit down. I'm waiting for that marriage to come out. I'm